This morning, you and I are to answer the question, how are we sent? Mark's gospel paints a picture of how those early disciples were sent out by Jesus to spread the testimony of the kingdom. And so he sends them out two by two, Mark records. It is out of this command to be sent that for you and me, we need to know what it is that Jesus implies in the message as he sends out those who would follow him in that ancient first century church moment, and how you and I are to be equipped as followers today to be sent out in God's kingdom. Now, some of you may be quick to say, the only people that Jesus really sends out is somebody that's a graduate of seminary. Some of you may be quick to say, oh, you've got to go to a confirmation class. You've got to study and examine the faith. And once you join the church, you get one of those funny little name badges that we wear around here. And that's who's sent out. No. Some of you may say, well, I need to go get a certificate of discipleship. It might take me up to 2 years. There's a program online I can do and I can follow that way, and that will let me be sent out to be a disciple. No. Mark's gospel tells us how Jesus sent out his disciples, and that same sending out is for us today. Doesn't have to do with qualifications, even those are helpful. It doesn't have to do with status or rank among the community of faith. It has everything to do with who you and I are empowered by the Holy Spirit to extend the witness to the kingdom of God in the world. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus names the 12 apostles. He calls them apostles, and that word apostle can be translated to being witness to the kingdom of God. And yet here in chapter 6, we now watch Jesus begin to send them out two by two. Now, some of us who are mathematicians and scholars in business would recognize that if Jesus sent them out alone, he would get double the coverage. There'd be 12 points of contact, let alone his. Why does he narrow the field and send them out two by two? Well, perhaps some scholars will help us understand that according to Numbers 35 and Deuteronomy 19, the only way you can be a witness, a legitimate legal testifier, is that there are two of you. It can't be a solo thing. You can't bring charges against somebody or take them to court unless there are two from different households who bring a word of testimony of agreement against your situation. So maybe the reason why Jesus decides to pair them up is to match what both the Old Testament command and that Jewish tradition of having two to testify makes implicit in their sending forward. You may also want to argue that it was out of basic necessity. You wouldn't want to travel the streets and the territory of first century Galilee and Jerusalem and Judea without a partner. The streets were a little dangerous. I remember as a Boy Scout at Camp Oyo in the summertime, we were never allowed to go down to the lake alone. You had to go with a buddy. Well, that same kind of principle of safety may very well have been part of why Jesus would send them out as two. And yet, we would also notice that the very description of how they're being sent out might in fact be a reenactment of their escape from slavery and captivity out of Egypt, and this is now the new Exodus. These 12 represent the 12 tribes of Israel who were led from Pharaoh's yoke of slavery, and they were carried out beyond the Red Sea into the wilderness, led by God. Morning and evening they were provided bread in the morning and meat at night so that they might be cared for as God's people. When they wander in the wilderness, God would, by the striking of a rock, cause water to come out. The provision of what they needed was always there. They could not carry it with them. So maybe that's why the mandate that Jesus says to his followers, you're to take nothing with you except a staff, your sandals, and only not two tunics, but one. This invitation to be sent without anything is that enactment that for you and me, when we go forward, we go trusting in God. We go knowing that God leads us. No matter where we go, we have the message and we have the opportunity to bear witness to what God says and does. God also uses the hospitality nature of the people of faith to be that which provides for his servants, for those who go forward and care for all that God provides. Again, for you and me, we begin to discover, why does Jesus send them out with nothing? In the ancient day, there were some that were traveling cynics, so to speak, of that region, and they would arrive carrying bread with them. Some would wonder whether or not they were selling that bread or bartering so that they might have other means to sustain themselves. But they weren't going depending upon the hospitality of others. They were going to take, in a sense, advantage of others to barter and trade. This should not be how those of Christ would be sent forth in the nature of the kingdom. There were some who always had a little tucked into their wallets, and in fact, when they arrived, they would do things on behalf for others. If they healed you or they provided other things, you would then pay them for that, and they'd tuck the money in their belt and go on. The Essenes were known for that kind of healing exchange, and yet charlatans were often found being those who came wanting money in return for what they had done for you. This, again, would not be how Jesus sends out his followers. And you will note in both Luke and Matthew, this idea of taking nothing with you is carried to the extreme. For those descriptive qualities literally meant they took no staff and they didn't even take shoes with them. Now, one of my earliest mentors was Charlie Brown, and he was a World War II veteran, and he always told us as good followers that you'd take not one pair of socks, but you took two. The second pair of socks you pinned in the back of your jacket so that if the one pair of socks on your feet got wet, you'd take off those wet socks. You'd pin them in the back of your jacket so they'd dry on the body heat that was on your back. And you put the dry socks onto your feet because your feet were the first and most important thing to help you carry out your task or duty. You couldn't have sore feet and do what God had called you to do. Beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, the scripture says. Maybe that's where Charlie got his skilled idea. I actually think it was basic training out of the army, but that's a different story. You and I would recognize that here in this moment, the disciples are being sent out, and if we took it to the extreme like Luke and Matthew, they take nothing with them. But here, Mark says, take a staff with you and wear sandals and only one tunic, not two. This provision of a staff and sandals might very well give us a key of what it means to be sent by Jesus. That staff, representative of the shepherd's mantle, it could be one of a straight stick that helps us to walk, to ward off wild animals or defend us on the road, but it may also be a representative of that image of Moses when he went before Pharaoh and took the staff and threw it down and it became a serpent, and he picked up the tail and it became a staff again. It was that moment where he challenged Pharaoh to let his people go, and Pharaoh said, oh, I've got magicians that can do that, and he wasn't impressed. But it would be that same staff that Moses would get to the Red Sea, and if you remember that part of the story, when he raises his arms, it's not Moses who is the freelance lone ranger of that story, but Aaron lifts up his arms so that he'd keep the staff lifted up while all the people of Israel crossed through the Red Sea. That being sent as two, Moses and Aaron, not just a solo individual, is well for us to see within the Old Testament commands. Here Jesus sends us out two by two because it's not merely in our own individual power that we go, but we go with that staff that was the power of God that would part the Red Sea, that would strike on a rock at Horeb and cause water to come forth. It would be that staff that would be the very image of God's authority. But please note, for Matthew and Luke, they often associate casting out demons and healing. But here, Mark reduces it down to only one thing. The disciples are to have authority over the unclean spirits. For you see, in Mark's gospel, it is clear that the unclean spirits are always the one who knows who Jesus is. It is the unclean spirit that calls out to Jesus, what have you to do with us? Have you come to torment us, Son of God, Savior of the world? It would be the unclean spirits that are always the ones who are aware of God's kingdom coming on earth. And Jesus would say to his followers, you are to proclaim the power of the gospel. I think perhaps the New Testament imagery of always sending out individuals two by two carries forth an amazing power and imagery for us today. For we're not sent out to be lone rangers and solo actors in the demonstration of the Great Commission to go into all the world. That's a task that is too great for one individual person. No, this partnership and nature of the gospel might first and foremost be the reason why we're sent out two by two is out of accountability. There is someone else that shares in the work and the labor who gives us the opportunity not to take credit for the events that happen. For when Peter is stopped by the beggar alongside as they go to and from the temple, Jesus would use the words of Peter when Peter said, gold and silver have I none, but in the name of Jesus I say. Well, it's easy for us to think Peter gets the credit, but John's right there with him. It isn't a solo act. This line of accountability is that John knew that Peter didn't have anything. These two that were accounting and recording the name and power of Jesus weren't going to say it's merely my possession, but it's a name that is held within community. Community also suggests for us that when we go two by two, it's out of mutual encouragement. Have you ever been in a task alone, flying solo, and almost growing weary, and you need the voice of another who says, we can do this, we can get through. It's that call and claim upon us that, again, Jesus would send us forth just as he sent Paul with an individual called Barnabas. Yes, his name could be translated son of encouragement. He would be the voice of the one who would ultimately shape one of the greatest individuals for the transformation of the New Testament church, and that was Saul or Paul. And their partnership together would bring about a dramatic transformation of the world. And yes, maybe Jesus sends us out two by two because believers can learn by examples. It's a demonstration that it isn't just merely out of rote or memory that one individual shares a story and a word, but by their very physical examples, these two bear witness to the power of the kingdom in coming into our lives. And even so, people are watching us and wanting to see us demonstrate the power of that kingdom at work in our lives. And maybe most importantly, you and I are sent to be God's messengers two by two so that we can maximize the gifts of the Spirit. I served a congregation that had a long-standing tradition of always taking care of the volunteer fire department in the community. Annually, they would host an appreciation dinner for their long hours and their times of service, those late night runs and those opportunities to provide relief and care to the community around them. And this was the church's chance to say to them, thank you so much. Well, the group that had been putting on this dinner for years and years had begun to dwindle down. And now there was only just a few of the ladies available this year to carry out that task. So they decided they'd use a new strategy. So early in the week, they showed up and they made the meat and the gravy and they put it in the refrigerator. Then when the day of the meal came and they set up the tables and they decorated again and they finished making the mashed potatoes and they did the other side dishes and they got everything out and ready and they took the meat and gravy out of the refrigerator and stuck it over into the crock pots and just gradually warmed it up. Well, when the firefighters came, they all had still their radios on in case there was an emergency call, but they sat there and enjoyed the benefits and blessings of this dinner till about 2 hours after the dinner. Several of them began to become sick. Several of them were rushed to the emergency room because of the food poisoning that had been shared by the meat that hadn't been warmed up immediately, but had been slowly raised to temperature and thus produced the bacteria that ultimately almost killed the entire volunteer fire department. Wouldn't you have loved to have been the church that had that as the headline? United Methodist women wipe out the entire volunteer fire department. What a great headline. Scary as it would seem, the very next year, the ladies proposed to do the meal again. Good news was there were a few more people that were willing to volunteer that year. And the amazing thing was the volunteers actually came back to try it again. When you and I try and go it alone, we are not equipped to be God's disciples. We are sent to be partners, not to be those individual voices bearing witness to the kingdom, but empowered to be sent, to be followers of Jesus, to be ones who hear the voice of Jesus, and when he says go, we go. Amen.